Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. To make a donation, please use the link to the left of this webpage. And thanks.
Money, and lots of it. In fact, $100 billion of it every year come 2020. To help compensate for the lack of a binding agreement to cut emissions coming out of last year's Copenhagen summit, the U.S. and other wealthy countries made that big pledge. It's for developing countries to adapt to a changing climate and grow with less carbon. Jens Stoltenberg, Prime Minister of Norway, is the co-chair of a high-level panel that was commissioned to prime negotiators in Cancun with practical ideas to meet those promises.
It is challenging but feasible to mobilize the $100 billion we agreed on in Copenhagen.
The advisory panel includes heads of state and finance experts, bankers, international financier George Soros, and White House economic chief Lawrence Summers. The key to getting to $100 billion a year, says Prime Minister Stoltenberg, is a price for carbon of no less than $20 to $25 a ton. And the higher it is, the better the investment climate for developing countries.
Especially the potential of auctioning emission allowances. We estimate that that can mobilize about $30 billion annually. We look into the potential of introducing some kind of carbon pricing for international aviation, international ship, that can provide about $10 billion. And we look into the potential related to reallocating money going for subsidizing fossil fuels in the developed world. That can raise around $10 billion.
You enumerated $50 billion, but there's another $50 billion to go. Where do you expect to get that?
From other sources, the reason why I mentioned this $50 billion was just to illustrate how big the potential is connected to carbon pricing.
Prime Minister Stoltenberg went on to mention traditional foreign aid and private financing helped by the World Bank and its regional partners. U.S. Envoy Todd Stern came to Cancun to say the U.S. is keeping its Copenhagen promises, including pitching into a fund of $30 billion right away over 3 years, so-called fast-track money.
We have secured approximately $1.7 billion worth of climate assistance in our first year of Fast Start financing that will support adaptation activities for the most vulnerable countries around the world, combat deforestation in the world's most biologically diverse tropical forests, and help put countries on a path toward low-carbon development. Again, this is just the first of 3 years, and we will be looking to increase that amount in each of the next 2 years.
But Fast Track has come under fire for simply shuffling foreign aid from one category to another, rather than providing new funds. Jairam Ramesh, Environmental Minister for India, spoke for many developing countries.
So far, the Fast Start finance has neither been fast nor has it started, and there has hardly been any finance. In fiscal year 2010, the total commitment of the United States to Fast Start finance is $1.7 billion, which does no justice to the world's preeminent economic power.
The problem, said Bharat Jagdeo, the president of Guyana, is that the U.S. has no mandatory cap on carbon itself, and without a cap, there's nothing to auction or tax. He asked Americans in Cancun to carry home a message.
I ask you this as a favor. I was a member of the AGA, the advisory group on financing, the high-level group that the Secretary General put together that the Prime Minister of Norway chaired. Could you please give President Obama a copy of that executive summary? The copy says that we can raise $100 billion by 2020 easily if we have the right price signal, which is the only sustainable form for keeping this initiative going, particularly now when most countries are in a state where they're not going to provide money. And that is why we have this dubious form of accounting on their fast track financing, double counting, counting aid money, loopholes, all of this, and very glossy brochures about how fast-track financing has been disbursed.
As some UN summit pundits like to say, climate protection in the developing world is spelled finance. But loans and donations require good faith, and as UN climate negotiations drag toward the end of a second decade without worldwide limits on carbon emissions, it's not only polar ice that's disappearing, it's also trust.
Just ahead, damming a river without water. Keep listening to Living on Earth.